the sandwiches. Sticks fill the room with secondhand smoke that's cancerous. A jazz tune in the bathroom with your name and number. An afternoon calling at you. Haul at you.
Still 6 months to go, dude.
I know. I think I mentioned that on the last show. It was like 6 months before Lost starts. So,
well, and on the last show, it probably would have been like 7 months unless you were lying.
Fuck the format.
Fuck the format. Has Stevie been reading Watchmen, dude?
No.
No. She's got a long time, too, because that comes out after Lost.
She got up to... Well, she's definitely a lot farther than page 3.
Which is still where you're hanging out?
Yeah. So...
I might have to...
Because she... You could take it.
No, I can wait. I've got plenty of other books on my plate right now.
What you do is you take it, and then you say that... Then you wait for her to not find it, and then say, I don't know where it is. And then you have two. She'll buy you another one.
She's like, oh, I owe Ben a copy.
Yeah.
She's
just slipped something under the door. I wonder if that's going to be... Go check that out and see what it is.
It's like, it's coupons for Arby's.
Nice.
Or something else. Let me check.
All right, go get it. You lied. What is it?
I lied because...
Oh, shit. Is it Frosty Float?
It's a coupon for a Baconator... the Baconator Ultimatum, dude.
That's funny. She's making leftover dinner.
She's making leftover Wendy's?
She's making leftovers from last night. I was just telling her, go ahead and eat. She's on a diet, and I said I was just going to go pick up a cheeseburger. Holy shit, man.
So maybe she just wants you to be able to get that free cheeseburger.
A little cheaper. Free purchase. Wait, free Baconator with the purchase of any Baconator combo meal. So you get your Baconator combo, and they give you another Baconator.
On top of it.
Dude, that show, our last show, we talked about the Baconator.
Yeah.
And for some reason, people decided to take that as a challenge.
And the results were mixed. Everyone hated it.
Well, the challenge apparently was if you're going to shit your pants or not.
Right, yeah. One,
but
if you're going to shit your pants.
My whole thing wasn't that the Baconator fucked me up. It was eating a Baconator after... like
8 hours,
something like 16 hours of not eating.
Yeah,
it was or whatever, from 8 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night.
That's why this combo makes so much sense. Is because you eat your Baconator combo, right?
Uh huh.
And then you eat your Baconator, so you're not eating it on an empty stomach like you were.
A free small frosty with any combo meal.
That would not be good for me.
That'll save you like 99 cents. You might actually be able to drink a small frosty. They're like the size of, they're like barely a shot glass.
You know, it's funny because it says right in the name, dairy. Frosty dairy dessert.
This doesn't even say that.
Maybe if they change the name, then it's not in it. Like KFC, when people thought there wasn't chicken in there anymore because they changed it to KFC.
Yeah. I wonder if you should take this, get the free small Frosty TM, and then drink it. And then when you have diarrhea, then you could tell them, hey, what the fuck?
Hey, what the hell? You didn't say dairy on your shit. And it's your responsibility on your coupon to tell me.
Last night was I went to my sister's house for dinner.
What'd you have?
Meatloaf.
Nice. Dude, meatloaf does not get any respect.
Dude, especially among my female family
wife.
Members and wife.
Among your female wife.
My brother-in-law and myself are the only people in the family that likes meatloaf.
So your sister made it, like, for you guys?
Yes. It happens once a year I get meatloaf.
Nice.
And then she'll make like chicken for
everyone else. Meatloaf is so strong, and it's like people think it's like this like cheapo like throwaway meal, but it's delicious.
Yeah, it's meat.
Yeah,
with like eggs inside, I guess, and breadcrumbs,
like spice and shit. Do you put ketchup on yours? Your ketchup?
Yeah, but you have to put it on before you put it in the oven.
So it can crust up,
or sometime during the baking process.
And
then I put more ketchup on it. I was eating leftovers for lunch today, and I realized I don't put ketchup on anything. Like, if it comes on my burger, I eat it.
But you don't ever have a bottle of ketchup handy.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll put it on a hot dog, but I put everything on a hot dog.
Yeah.
But I don't really like the taste of ketchup, like, on its own. So, like, with French fries, there's no way. I never eat. Unless the fries are too potato-y, you know how, like, you go to, like, Jack in the Box's meat fries, or like you go to Fat Burger and they're just really potato-y.
Then you have it to like cut it down a bit.
Yeah, kind of like if I have shitty iced tea, then I'll put sugar in.
But mostly you just drink it straight.
Yeah,
I do like half and half for like pancakes. I put sugar and ketchup. Like half of it ketchup and half of it sugar. No, I eat like half the pancakes before I even put the syrup on because I just want to get like the taste of the pancakes.
I'm not a syrup guy either.
Wow.
It's not so that simple. I don't like syrup. I like it on my
balls.
My breakfast meats.
Right. That's what we call your balls.
I'm a big fan of the bacon and sausage
with syrup.
With the syrup. Yeah, I don't know. That's strange.
That's bona fide badass.
And I like honey on my French fries. Like,
that's a little weird.
If you go, well, have you tried it? You should try it.
I'm not discounting it. I mean, did this come up because of McDonald's?
I'm not casting dispersions. I'm saying, have you tried it? You should give it a shot.
I'd love to.
Like when I was a kid, we'd go to McDonald's and honey. They don't even have honey anymore.
But I knew it was going to be McDonald's. I knew that's where it was going to come from.
You get the chicken McNuggets meal, and then
why did they take away honey? That's a great sauce.
Yeah, I don't know. And you think it's probably cheap, right?
Sure.
It's easier than manufacturing. Yeah.
You don't have to make it or anything.
Yeah.
Just get those fucking bees to make it for you.
And, I don't know what it was, but they're really good with fries. But this is only based on McDonald's fries.
Which are...
Don't go sticking fat burger fries in honey. That's what I'm saying.
It's like a family motto.
You can't... Like, if you were to say, oh, I went to Wiener Schnitzel and I dumped my fries in honey.
Wiener Schnitzel
fries are, like, kind of soggy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a little too shoestringy.
So my suggestion for the honey / fries is McDonald's French fries.
And when was the last time you had that? Back when they had honey as a sauce?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not...
It's probably still okay.
It's not something that it was like, you know, oh, I love this movie. It's not like Ice Pirates. Right. Oh, I loved Ice Pirates as a kid, but when I saw it recently, it sucked ass. No, I know that honey still is
good
on
the taste
McDonald's
still,
fries.
But the fries' tastes have changed, you know, because they changed it from like sheep fat to vegetable oil or whatever.
McDonald's fries taste the same, right?
I don't know, man. I think there's been a shift.
I've had them recently and I don't know. I didn't notice any difference.
Well, no, I mean, they changed it like a while ago. They changed it like in the late 90s. Like it was around, I remember it was like I was on my way to McDonald's and I was going to get a Dream Team cup with my 32-ounce beverage. And I heard a news article about how they had changed the oil. It was like I saw it on Carson and he was talking about how they finally, it was the first time they changed the oil ever is when they changed it from whatever it was to...
In the machine. The first time they changed the oil in the machine.
Yeah.
It's been there since 1950.
I'm sure Carson sold it way better than I did. Because I used to watch Johnny Carson.
Was it a Karnak bit?
Yeah. It was that one where he's like that salesman.
I only know Carson. I never watch Carson.
Oh, God.
Except the one where Chris Farley as Dom DeLuise pisses his pants, which wasn't...
which wasn't Carson at all. Yeah, it was a sketch. What if they have like a best of that I could Netflix? Because I'd put that in my queue and check it out.
Don't they show it on like a local shitty channel?
Like probably. Like
ADOC?
Right after they show Wally George.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, I don't know.
Check that out.
I don't watch shitty local channels.
Or it's probably on like Trio or Bravo or one of those stations that's always up in the air, whether they're on or not.
Something like that. It might be. I mean, I'm sure
you could look up Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And
or on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Watch a couple of Karnak bits. You know what? If I was a rapper, I'd try to rhyme a Karnak bit with Sarlacc Pit. I think that'd be cool.
It would have to look into the future like a Jedi.
Yeah.
And then
at the end of the Karnak, that's a good rhyme. Think about it. Just don't just dismiss it.
No, I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to come up with like a setup, how you can link those two together,
because
Karnak would see the future, and Star Wars took place a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
But
you could have it be about, like, seeing the future, and then, because in rapping, you're always dealing with, like, the people that are trying to fuck with you. Uh-huh. So the people that are trying to fuck with you would be the ones that end up in the Sarlacc pit.
Okay.
Like, the ones that, when we were reading, we found a book of old rhymes. This is the first time acknowledging that I'm talking to someone who's not here.
A book?
A book of old rhymes. You remember?
It's like a notepad.
A notebook. It was like 10 old rhymes.
It's like a notepad, like the kind, I don't even know what those are used for anymore, if they even have them.
I think like a tiny notepad. Maybe cops use them when they're writing down information about a crime.
I guess. It's like totally a tiny notepad.
I like the way I said it. We found a book of old rhymes. Because we were cleaning up my 12-year-old house to move, and we found 11-year-old rhymes back when we were thinking about being rappers, apparently.
I really wish that my Otter Pop rhyme or my Otter Pop rap, because there's like two or three
intense
pages, but it didn't have, there's pages missing.
There's no ending. It's like, Xanadu.
I know Two Fruity Cuties was referenced in that.
Ah.
Yeah, there's a whole page that's missing, because I would actually, like, you had the setup.
Right.
And what I did was I went through and I had like every character listed. Like
you did like a rap about Louis Blue.
Everybody was in there.
And you don't remember them?
No, it was 11 years ago.
Well, do it again, because that would be awesome.
All right, I'll try.
See, there was...
It was like Don't Screw with Louis Blue and...
And Little Orphan Orange. Cricket, cricket. Is it...
There's nothing rhymes with orange.
What's that?
Porridge? You hungry for some
nothing
porridge?
Nothing in the English language.
The other night? What? We're talking about some old-timey article.
Uh-huh.
And it's your joke. I hope you remember because it was only 3 days ago.
Oh, shit.
And I think Dylan was mentioning, he was like, today was found in the news as blah, 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 blah. And then you said porridge. Do you remember that at all? It was fucking hilarious.
That is pretty funny.
It was like today's story is brought to you by and you said porridge.
Like not even a brand. Yeah, that's right. Hey man, it was big back in the day.
Oh yeah.
You know, I remember one of the rhymes in the Autopop rhymed freezer section with colorful erection.
Yes. I was looking for those small colorful erections.
You know, there was nerdcore at the con. Did you see any of that?
There was what?
They call it nerdcore rapping. Like, I guess MC Chris might be an example of it because he does so much nerd style rapping.
Is this something that we thought up and now it actually exists?
Yes. Yeah, probably one of those things, yeah.
We need to get this shit out there, dude. We need to put ourselves in a position where we could make decisions.
We need to put ourselves in a position where someone's not fucking following us with a parabolic mic all the time, stealing our ideas.
But that would be wrong.
Yeah. So they had, I didn't stick around and watch any of it, but it was, you know how they had a couple things now at the con that was like raised up above?
Yeah, I saw Stan Lee on one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this one was the one that was like shaped like a boxing ring. And there was some kid in there with a mask.
That's the one I think I saw.
Stan Lee?
Maybe.
And so this kid was doing his nerdcore rap, and then he kind of got shut down. I don't know what the scenario was, but like as I was walking by, he was like, all right, this isn't working. I want to give a couple shout outs to my peeps. Like he was going to leave the stage in a huff, but he still took the time to give his shout outs.
Was he kicked off for cursing, or was he just, were people not into it?
I think I got the impression that there was some sort of glitch that maybe only he could perceive. Like maybe he was rapping song A to beat B and it was bothering him, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there was like apparently someone going to come up after him. Our friend Tony does gay hardcore rap as a LARF.
Yeah, and he's straight.
He's straight, so I mean it's kind of an old discredited joke to joke about being gay when you're not, but it's very funny.
I was chatting with Tony on Sunday about our big party we had the other night for the going away of the Associate House, and talking to Tony about the gigantic person that showed up at the party.
Oh my God.
That he ended up helping out. We're going to have to post some pictures on the MySpace page.
Did you get some of them?
I didn't get any picture.
The only picture?
Oh, no. Of the giant?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I got a picture of Tony in his muumuu. Once again, he's straight.
Right.
Standing over the giant who was laying down on the grass.
This kid was 6'11 if he was a day.
I don't know what that means. Well, I know he was 6'11". What does that mean if it's a day?
That's me mixing metaphors, like you say that you know she was 50 years old if she was a day. Like if she's a day year old, she's easily 50 years old.
Oh, okay.
So I mix things like that.
I'm not a rocket genius.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, kind of.
But this guy, it was hilarious because we didn't know who he was. He shows up to the party, wicked tall. And out of his mind, wasted. This dude was wasted. And he was so wasted. You know how he held himself up?
From falling.
From falling? He was holding his hand up on the ceiling.
On the ceiling. Putting his elbow on the ceiling.
He came in and was dancing. And Kelly's girlfriend decided to jump up on the arm of the couch and dance with him.
Yeah.
This dude was fucking tall.
And he was super excited, too, to see someone at almost his eye level.
And then he was wasted, and then he passed out, and it broke your door.
It's funny to show... Which door?
The back door, Matt's door. Didn't you get that guy's number to tell him to pay for that door he damaged?
Ah, no, I didn't. It's too bad.
She got his number. It said, well, look, what did you do?
Look what you did. Someone broke my window. Do you know about that?
Yes, I saw that on the way out when I was... Because I was picking my stuff up on Sunday.
Yeah.
Chatted with Tony, and when we left, I noticed the window was busted. That's an interesting story.
That's not cool. Well, there's so much broken stuff that we're going to have to deal with when we move out. I'm not looking forward to what the landlord's going to say because he's kind of uptight as it is. Always hassling us. You know, the man.
Whatever.
So, I guess we're just going to have to deal with it. But yeah, this dude was a tall-ass motherfucker.
Yeah, and he was passed out.
I like how you said that he showed up to the party wicked tall. Like, that's an embarrassing way to show up somewhere. It's, oh, God, this guy showed up and he was wicked tall.
He scared me. I was afraid of him. I tell Tony, I said, dude, well, he was like about to fall over like that ant that was getting chopped at the leg by the orcs. I was like, dude, this guy's going to like make one false move and crush all of us. Someone had mentioned that we should have left him in the front yard, but tied him down. Like,
yeah, James wanted to
like
do that.
Gulliver's Travels.
We tied him down with dozens of tiny ropes. I just got like as much doll furniture as we could and placed it around. Like there'd been a party of Lilliputians on his chest. God damn.
What an awesome party.
This guy's nickname is Timber.
I actually DJ'd for the first time ever.
And how'd that go?
Did you get to hear some of that?
No, probably, but I guess I didn't notice it was you.
It was at the very beginning.
It was actually
at 7 o'clock.
You just gave him a playlist, right? You weren't actually...
I was behind the turntables at 7 o'clock. I don't know where you were.
I don't know.
I was playing... Did you hear the Boingo music playing at the beginning of the night? Or Leo Sayer?
I must have.
Or ELO. There's Mr. Blue Sky was playing.
Maybe I was greeting people to the party and putting on my pajamas and stuff.
I was... Sorry. Jamie was there. It was just the core group, and then...
How funny. I remember hearing some definite Ralph music, but...
That wasn't me, which was crazy.
That's even funnier.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, because Dylan was giving me shit, or Dylan was giving the room shit at my expense.
Ah.
Like I was done with my set.
Uh-huh. Your first ever set.
You know, I played some 80s music. I played some Thompson Twins. I played some...
That's cool.
I didn't play Thompson Twins. I didn't see my Thompson Twins. I played Men at Work. I played Boingo.
Yeah.
Played some Leo Sayer. I played just a bunch of like random stuff.
Right on.
Some Ursula 1000. And I like, okay, I'm really tired because this is like too much to concentrate on for the amount of time. Like, and I was like in the corner and I didn't have the window open. It was hot or whatever. I was tired. So like Caesar jumped on. And like Dylan was like, oh, awesome. Thank God Ralph isn't at the turntables anymore. I was like,
thanks, bro.
Like everyone was like, dude, that was awesome. And Caesar's like, oh, you picked good songs. And everyone was like, cool with it. And like,
and then he had to
be fucking music snob, which, you know, what's funny is like, this is a story I love to tell.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of ELO.
Yes.
And I have been for years.
Like, it's, like, kind of huge for you historically, right?
I guess. It's just...
Did you used to listen to them, like, on some family trip or...
No, that's just... My dad was into ELO, or okay. He might still be, as far as I know. But, I mean...
So
I
come by it, honestly.
So, I mean, everybody has their parents' rock music, their classic rock music they listen to.
Yeah.
Like, Stevie is into Zeppelin and Leonard Skinner and Pink Floyd.
Right.
I listen to mostly Beatles and... My mom would listen to Billy Joel, Hall & Oates, get some ELO in
ELO,
there.
Yeah.
And so that's how it is. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So I just know a lot of ELO songs. You just kind of grow to know the music and become a fan.
It's like a subcategory of music you like is the music that you like because you heard it from your parents or had it when you were growing up.
And I used to get shit for liking ELO from both Dylan and producer Ryan.
Because they're lame?
Because ELO might appear to be a ripoff of the Beatles, or because maybe they're not as good as the bands that they like. I have no idea.
I don't get it. But
the thing that pisses me off the most is, and I could tell you exactly when this happened. It's when Eternal Sunshine came out.
Uh-huh. And that
song. And
they had
the trailer.
Yeah.
Mr. Blue Sky played. Which I figured I'll play that one. If I'm going to play ELO song, at least I'll play one that...
Because that one has that some recent like. Crossover success.
Yeah. So I play it, and I was like, okay, cool, whatever. So I play ELO, and Dylan gives me shit. So anyway, where was I? Okay. So going back to Eternal Sunshine, the song comes out on the trailer, Mr. Right. Blue Sky. And I get an email from Dylan. And Dylan's all, hey, check out the new Eternal Sunshine trailer. Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, sweet. That's cool. You know, I'm really fired up on it.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure, like, the next day I get another email from Dylan. Hey, dude, did you know that ELO did the song for the Eternal Sunshine trailer? I'm all, yeah, it's Mr. Blue Sky.
Yeah.
He's all, yeah, that song's awesome. And, like, since then, it seems like the guys who always gave me shit are for like yellow. Kind of like now okay with it.
They're like backpedaling or
totally. And I'm like, what?
Was it that they gave you shit from a non-educated standpoint? Like they'd never really listened to ELO?
I don't know what it was.
That's funny.
I think the way I see it was, I don't want to give them the time of day because they're an inferior group to the groups I listen to.
Right.
But hey, this song's cool. Wait a second. These guys might be cool.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to be kidding
me. That's funny.
Like, and so it's one of those things where if I play Oingo Boingo at a party and everyone seems to be into it,
right,
then don't give me shit because
it's Oingo Boingo.
Because since the ELO thing,
right,
I haven't really cared what you had to say about my music taste anyway.
That's right.
So I was like,
and if the room's okay with it, why bother having a problem?
And
it was, and
Caesar had just set up, and I told him I want to do this before everyone shows up.
Right.
I did it from 7 to 7:30. People didn't show up till 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it was just
so it was court. Already over 2.5 hours before people showed up.
He's
so
got standards,
like,
bro.
Are you kidding me?
If you can't live up to those standards, then maybe you shouldn't step up to the Wheels of Steel,
or maybe you should get behind them yourself and play your Rolling Stones, which is a band that I think's overrated.
That's, you know what? He even put that fucking Mr. Blue Sky song on one of their Road Trip albums.
I know.
That must have been
pissed me off because I'm like, you're such a turncoat.
you must have loved that.
Oh man! No, I sang it really loud. And then I did the outro, which is like a good minute long, on nose flute.
Yes.
So there you go.
That's funny. Well, you know,
it just bugs me that like people give you shit about your movies that you like.
Oh yeah.
But.
Because people say that I have no standards.
But that's the thing. You do like good movies.
Right.
You do like bad movies. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I love bad movies.
Yeah.
Forbidden Zone, by all means, is not a good movie.
No, not
at
the
all.
Slightest.
I'm trying to think of like movies that I really like that are shitty.
I like Detroit Rock City. That's kind of a dumb movie.
I like Run, Ronnie, Run. That's a dumb movie.
Yeah.
But there's like, I'm trying to think of like, I like Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yeah, you
That's
love
a
that
bad
one.
Movie, but yeah. I really like it. But for some reason, you get shit on because they can't see the good movies you like. They only see like Zardoz and
yeah.
the shitty movies.
It becomes such a thing where it's like no one would, if we went and saw a film, like you and I were the only ones that saw it yet before it came out, no one would ask me what I thought like to see whether or not they should go see it.
Yeah.
But not necessarily. Sometimes they ask, but I think they still put a grain of salt next to it.
Yeah. A classic example is Matrix Revolutions.
Ah.
Which I talked a little bit about this on that Metro Buzz podcast that I was on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember if it got edited out or not. Me, you, and Dan are the only ones that like that movie in the planet.
At all. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe the Wachowskis. They probably like it too.
I would hope.
And it's one of those things where I said, yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. And someone, I don't want to keep slamming him, but he said, like, I can't believe it. That was the worst movie ever, and I don't know if I could trust your opinion. Because I liked the movie.
That's, I don't know.
Like, here's the thing with the Matrix movies. Yeah, you might not like the story. You might not like the direction it goes in. But when I go into a theater, I don't know the last time I've seen an army of people in mech outfits.
Yeah.
I don't know what those are called, like mech tank walking things versus giant robots in a huge futuristic city. I get to see that, what, every maybe 5 years?
If then, yeah. And definitely not as good looking as that before or since.
Yeah, and it's just really, I go in, there's some movies that I go in like thinking, okay, my artistic side might be down with this, whereas or I'll have my stupid, let's go have fun at the movies.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I don't want to go see some drama during the summer season.
Because
I'm in summer mode. I want to see stupid movies like Transformers.
I'm ramped up for explosions. I'm not ready for for weeping.
Yeah. That's why I wish 1408 came out next month.
Yes. It would have been perfect in the fall.
I mean, I still like the movie, but it was like, you know.
Yeah. It was definitely sandwiched between, you know, awesome.
It was like Transformers and
Die Hard.
Something like that.
It was in between running and jumping and fighting. I totally know what you're talking about. And sometimes it's even like, this is exactly how I pick a movie I'm going to watch if I'm just going to watch one of my movies I own.
Yeah.
It has to be about my mood. Like, you can't force yourself to be in the mood for, like, an art movie.
Yeah.
That's why Netflix, I actually have to manage my queue, because it's like...
I've been having to do that, too, because...
I can't have this one just yet. Got to put that off.
Yeah. Like, Taxi Driver's been hovering around the top of my queue for a while.
And you keep putting it off.
Yeah. I keep bumping stuff in front of it, because I'm just not ready for that. But come, you know, December...
Then it's putting you...
Then I'll
on.
Start doing that shit. It's really weird. I get in that weird kind of, like... seasonal state of mind.
Yeah. And that's when you bust out Tokyo Olympiad, and that's when you watch like Down by Law.
Yeah.
I've had Apocalypto and The Great Escape from Netflix at my, well, in my possession for like 3-4 weeks now. A lot of it's because I've been moving, but it also it's like, you can't just put in Apocalypto. Like,
as far as I know, you can't.
You can't finish dinner and pop open a beer and be like, all right, let's pay. What are you guys doing? You want to watch Apocalypto?
Yeah.
It's like, you have to plan for it.
I got Green Street Hooligans.
What's that?
It's Elijah Wood's an American who visits his sister in Europe. And then he gets mixed up with some soccer hooligans. And I was bored to death. So I didn't.
Really?
It was just one of those movies. I'm like, this isn't the time for it. I need to rent, or I need to get G-Man from Hell, which should be on its way.
Nice. One thing that I always make time for is ALF season one, which I have right now.
How's that going?
Well, we watched it once and I remember it being hilarious.
Yeah. A teacher of mine in high school would put on ALF, cause there was like a 20 minute period between fourth period and lunch, which was kind of like a study time where you can like catch up or whatever.
Or study ALF.
Or whatever. But he would turn on ALF and he swore by it. And I'd just sit there and watch ALF and laugh my ass off.
Yeah.
Because that show was really funny.
Well, James and I have been on a path lately where we'd get really drunk and then turn on the Wii and find those ALF outtakes and watch them over and over again. Because there's like there's a thing on YouTube with a bunch of ALF outtakes. So
you'd split screen it?
No, we just turn on the Wii and just use the YouTube.
Oh, got it.
And watch the outtakes and fucking crack our asses. I haven't showed that to you yet.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. The funniest fucking part is... I can't do it, obviously.
I'll have to watch it.
Okay.
I'll
put it on your MySpace, even though it's like 20 minutes long.
That's fine with me. I don't care.
Check it out. But anyhow...
Yeah, go to my MySpace. Check it out.
After all this, after all these outtakes, I said, fuck it, and I put it in my queue. And we got really drunk and watched like most of the pilot. And then I did what I do when I'm drunk, which is pass out, but... Dude, I can't wait to watch more. And then once I finish watching like maybe the first season of ALF, I think I'll get Permanent Midnight, which I've never seen.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, haven't.
So
it's not it actually might be in my queue.
Yeah.
Who knows what's in there?
God, I've got like 320 movies in my queue.
Today I just put in Hard Rock Zombies.
What's that about?
I don't know. I saw it on just the Geekscape podcast. They were talking about it.
Nice.
Some shitty movie about...
zombies.
A rock band that goes to a town and the guy falls in love with a girl and the town has like werewolves, Nazis, Hitler, zombies, like everything.
Nice.
And apparently like the band dies and it's about this girl getting revenge.
That's cool.
It's called Hard Rock Zombies.
That sounds like a good premise for a shitty movie.
Yeah, and I noticed that IMDb had a, like 2 or 3 stars.
Hey.
Which on IMDb, people won't stumble upon that kind of movie unless they know they're going to go to it. I really like this movie. I'm going to give it so many stars.
Yeah.
No, someone like sought out that movie and gave it 3 stars.
To review it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be pretty interesting, but I like those kinds of movies. I have good movies. I have a lot of Criterion Collection.
Sure.
That are really excellent movies that I really like.
You can tell the difference. Like, you can, like, if we were talking about, I don't know if you were there, we're talking about the difference between, say, Knocked Up and Superbad.
Uh-huh.
That they were both funny.
Yeah.
Superbad was probably funnier, but Knocked Up was a movie, like a real movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, it had, like, characters that went through shit and it had a plot, and, you know, one of them is more of a film than the other one.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I really like Superbad. I thought it was fucking hilarious.
Uh-huh.
And I'm down with like the whole Into the Night kind of anti-plot.
Yeah, you have a few. I mean, like, isn't Detroit Rock City?
Detroit Rock City is kind
of
like that.
Dazed and Confused.
Definitely.
Do you have Clerks?
Clerks
is the day, but still.
Still, it's, yeah. I mean.
Do you have American Graffiti?
I don't have that one.
But
there's another
one. Breakfast Club?
I don't have Breakfast Club, but I love Breakfast Club.
It's a weird. It's a. They should. Do they have a name for that genre? Is there like a genre, or do you just?
Well, I read an article on in the Onion's AV Club last week comparing it to what they called the Into the Night movies of the 80s, which isn't all of the ones that you mentioned, but it's the idea being like straight laced regular guy ends up going into the night to find something and gets drawn into seamy underground. Okay. So it's like something wild.
Oh, it's like Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But
pilot
more fun. So I think there's that, but then I think the other ones that we were mentioning are more like just slice of life. Just like it's not necessarily a plot.
I consider slice of life like Ed Wood, or like Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
Where it's like takes place, like it's not necessarily someone's whole life story.
Right.
It's just one segment of their life
story. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think Wet Hot American Summer wouldn't qualify because it's specifically the last day of camp.
Uh-huh.
But if it were just a day at camp, it would totally be in there.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not like we have to get to this thing and then it happens and then the movie's over. Like that's to me is a plot.
Yeah.
But like Napoleon Dynamite.
Definitely.
It's like, or that Superbad, I kind of felt that way because I remember I turned to you at one point in the movie and I was like, why is the movie still happening? Because
I was like, they got the booze or whatever. They were at the party.
Yeah. And then there was a whole, like, you know, denouement.
Probably like only like 5 minutes, but it just seemed.
But it made sense.
You expect movies to end.
Yeah. When they're over.
Like Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
Which is another slice of life.
Which is what everything should be. Bad
God
Boys
damn,
too.
Dude. I've been addicted to this. I don't know if I told you that. Oh, I did tell you this. Ebert and Roper and Siskel Brando,
and Steve and.
You go on their webpage and pick any movie you want. And if they've reviewed it on TV, then they have that video up for you. And the review of Bad Boys 2 is pretty fun.
That's. I bet Ebert liked it.
Nobody liked it.
Nobody liked it.
Which is retarded. Because they'll sit through a movie and be like, you know, like Siskel will hate it and Ebert would say, you know what? This is just a fun movie. Like the Predator one.
Generally, Ebert will
Siskel do that. Hated the Predator and he's like, dude, you know what? This is. Ebert would be like, this is a popcorn movie. This is fun.
Yeah.
But if Ebert has the first say, then he hates it.
Yeah. And
it's
then,
almost like,
and you know, Siskel's not going to step up to the plate.
You know, he's like trying to pick a fight or something.
Yeah,
fucking no-jawed fat ass.
I read his review of Waterworld in like my Uncle John's bathroom reader.
Uh huh.
And it was.
I'll have to watch the review.
Yeah, do that.
But no, go for it.
If I remember it, it's like he's saying it's one of those middle of the road movies where you don't regret having watched it, but you can't recommend it.
Yeah,
I thought that's an interesting way of putting things. Like, it's not like the movie was painful or that I hated it, but I wouldn't say that anyone else should ever watch it.
One of my favorite reviews of his is for The Rock, which is in the liner notes for the Criterion Collection version.
Nice.
Of that motion picture that Michael Bay directed, and it cracks me up because Criterion Collection prides itself on. You know, contemporary classics and like actual
films,
actual classic films.
A lot of them, but they also branch out, I think.
But they'll do like what they call contemporary classics, like, you know, Rushmore.
Right.
Like things that are recent. And so The Rock and Armageddon are on there, like on the Criterion Collection. And those are like the opposite of the Criterion Collection. So in the liner notes, they feel like they have to justify themselves. So there's this Ebert review for The Rock in there talking about like how no matter what you think of the storytelling or what you think of the movie, Michael Bay has a definite style and he's put a stamp on movies. And it talks about how no other director today can you see the first frame of a movie and know who the director is other than Michael Bay, which is pretty true.
That's
you look
huge.
You look at like... I'm trying to think. The first shot of The Rock is like Ed Harris standing in front of his wife's grave, and it's like a low dolly slow mo shot going around him.
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, you know, immediately.
Yeah,
like it's Michael Bay. It just cracks me up.
That's funny that he has to go through all that justification just to just to tell you that it's okay to watch this movie.
Yeah.
I'm a professional film critic, and I say you can watch this movie, movie snobs.
That's not what it is.
It's not even
I'm
that.
A professional film critic, and I'm saying that don't give Criterion shit for putting this on their collection.
Everyone back the fuck off.
So it's okay. It's cool.
I haven't seen that movie in so long, and I really like that movie.
A Fiend Without a Face, which is a movie I happen to enjoy. It's like a campy, shitty, like 50s black and white sci-fi horror movie.
Uh-huh.
Is on Criterion Collection. And you have to read the liner notes because any questionable movie on their list, it's like, here's the justification.
Here's why this movie's here.
They talk about suspense by just using sounds and how the sound design in it was very above standards or was, what would you say?
Like revolutionary?
Yeah, kind of revolutionary. And you're just watching this, it's just like a heartbeat sound for these invisible brains.
But if they haven't done it yet.
you read the thing and it's like, you know, the whole movie, they don't show you the creature. It adds suspense with just the sound effects alone.
Yeah.
And you watch the commentary from the director who's like, you know, 70 years old. And he's saying, yeah, we didn't have enough money to show the creature, so we couldn't show him. So we made him invisible. They were never supposed to be invisible.
That's pretty funny.
There's a few things on Criterion.
That's the whole business right there, man. The thing is, you can be it. You know, who cares what money or motivation goes into making a movie?
Yeah.
When people watch it, they interpret it their own way.
Well, that's like George Lucas saying that he didn't show the Wampa, and it was more artistic not to show the Wampa.
Yeah.
And it would heighten the whatever. And he also says because the suit looked crappy, and we just decided, let's do it artistic.
Yeah, that's right.
So
it's all these things that drive it, and then at the end, it's just a product, and you're just going to... I mean, who knows? Like, no one tells Da Vinci what color paint to buy, like if he ran out of blue, and then you watch it, you look at the painting later, and you're like, oh, there's no blue in it, and that makes me feel happy because blue is a sad color. I mean,
yeah,
it's not. It's more of a microcosm than that. It happens faster.
That's funny.
Yeah, there was another example of something like that where... Oh, like Indiana Jones shooting that guy because Harrison Ford had diarrhea.
Yes.
And that's a hilarious shot. That's a great scene.
It's like one of those moments where they actually made a sequel, well, I guess prequel joke
a
in
prequel
Temple
joke.
Of Doom.
Yeah.
Where he goes to shoot the giant guy or you've seen the movie.
You've seen him. You know what we're talking. If you don't know what we're talking about, please.
My hand is itchy again. Like for reals. I'm not just saying that. To start my conversation, but like for the past couple of weeks, every once in a while, like I get this itchy on my hand.
On the inside of your palm?
Like right along the bottom here.
Hmm.
And it doesn't feel like it's on the skin. It feels like it's underneath.
Hmm.
Stevie gave me like this antibiotic, which definitely takes it away. Like fixes it, but.
But you haven't put it on in a while?
No, it's a pill.
Oh.
It reminded me that since we haven't been podcasting, I actually went up to LA for like 2 hours.
Oh, that's right.
Because Craig from the old Scott and Steve show was in town at a press junket for... For Death Sentence, starring Dancin' Bacon.
Dancin' Bacon.
And Stevie gave me these antibiotic, and I took it. And I hung out with Craig for like 2 hours.
I think anytime you're going to hang out with Craig, it's always good to take a wide variety of antibiotics ahead of time.
Dude, I was on my way home from LA, which is about 15-minute drive, maybe.
Sure, depending.
I was about at the... I was on the 105 still, which is a good maybe 25 minutes away. And my eyes started closing. Then... Dude.
Like, well, you still had half an hour to go,
yeah,
at least.
Dude, and my eyes were like, I couldn't take it. Like,
an antibiotic is making you sleepy?
There was nothing I could do. I come home, like, fucking shot. I come home, and I look at Stevie. I said, I think that antibiotic fucked me up. I lay down. I'm not shitting you. It was one of those, like, if you, like, lay down with the intentions of, like, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah.
Like... I lay down, close my eyes, and knew in my head that I am now asleep as soon as I hit the pillow. And I was fucked up.
Well, that explains it because
like dead fucking out of it. And I was just like, holy shit. And I woke up like, cause I dropped Craig off at the airport like at 2:30. I woke up like at 6:30
in the morning
at night. And I sat up, I said, Stevie, I said, those things fucked me up. And she's like, oh no, you shouldn't have. I forgot. Those really make you like the warnings on the bottle are like, will cause Disney. Yeah. A winking, suggesting,
suggesting that you'd have booze.
Holy shit. So I don't know. Like, first of all, I felt weird seeing Craig because I've talked to Craig on the phone several times, emailed him. I've known Craig for probably 2 years now.
At least. Yeah.
And
more.
It was weird meeting him for the first time in person. I mean, and then to know that you only have so many hours.
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking, I was like, holy shit, dude, I was really.
What if you were stoned?
I was fucking out of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
I hope you didn't misrepresent yourself.
I hope not either. And then like 2 weeks ago, I woke up and my hand was itching again. And it hasn't itched since like right now, but I think that's because I'm scratching at it. But 2 weeks ago, I woke up, I took another pill. I'm like, okay, it's 3 a.m. I'll take the pill now and it'll be fine. I ended up waking up like at noon, which is a good 5 hours after I usually wake up.
Yeah.
I was fucking out of it all day long. And yeah. That's when I sent you the text message saying, dude, I can't record tonight.
And I remember,
I said, I just woke up. I had things I had to do today and there's no fucking way. This is no way.
And I remember thinking it was odd because you know, we generally record around like 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you sent me a text message saying, I can't record tonight because I took some medication that made me sleepy. And I was like, typical fucking Ralph. Like, I had no idea that you needed medication, but now that it's relevant, I know that it makes you sleepy and that you're taking medication.
No, I'm not. That's the thing. I'm not taking medication. This is mine. This is Stevie's. She gave it to me that one day and it made my itchy go away.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, perfect. But it also made me pass out.
Yeah.
And then I figure, okay, it's 3 a.m. I'll take another one now.
Now
it'll make the itching
go
away, and I'll be already in sleep, and I'll wake up, you know, normal time, whatever.
But it just wiped out your whole day.
It fucking wiped out my whole day, and I was, like, done.
Does it not?
Stevie came home. I swear to God, Stevie came home. I think I was supposed to make dinner. That was one of the many things I was going to do. and we ended up going out to dinner, and I sat there like a fucking lump.
Because you couldn't.
The whole time.
You couldn't get it together.
I told her, I said, and I got real edgy. No, she ended up making dinner. I still sat like a lump and I was like, and I don't, I'm not usually one to snap, but Stevie was like, I was like fucking so out of it. I was like, this sucks for me. For me, this sucks. That's the only thing that I was thinking. Like, I wasn't blaming her or anything.
Right.
Just for me, I was in a sucky situation. I told her, I said, I'm never taking one of those pills again.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I didn't tell you had to. And then I was like, I'm not blaming you. Just stop it. Just leave me alone.
Jeez.
I don't feel good. And I'm like, I'm sorry. This thing's just really fucking with my head. Because it was like one of those things where it was like, I could feel like I did my body wrong. My body was pissed at me. And yeah. I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm never doing that again. So I haven't. And now I have an itchy hand.
That's a pretty funny interchange between you and Stevie.
But I have this, I've been taking that ulcer medication and since then I've been fucking awesome.
Yeah. No stomach nuts.
There was like a 3 day period where I didn't have it because I had ran out and something happened. I forget what it was, but I wasn't able to get a replacement right away. And it was like over a weekend. And the night before I went to get my refill, I had an attack. I don't know if, and I have this, like this hunch that maybe because our ulcer is essentially caused by stress and I might've been like, holy shit, I don't have my pills and I get it tomorrow. I hope nothing happens tonight.
So one, you were vulnerable cause you didn't have your medication, but two, you were also extra stressed because you didn't have your medication.
So I was afraid that I was going to have an attack.
It's a chicken egg situation.
So I just sat up and just dealt with it. I'm like, it'll be all fine tomorrow.
Yeah.
I wish I knew she had that freaking antibiotics because
you can knock yourself out.
Oh! So
did you watch Flight of the Conchords this weekend, dude?
I haven't.
Oh my god, okay. I almost made a reference to it earlier and then I chose not to for whatever reason. Probably got distracted, so good. Yeah. You're safe. You're safe from me.
Cool.
Cool.
Fuck off, Brit. That's a great show.
Yeah, it is. I've been having
Flight of the Conchords.
Conchords.
Or is it Conchords?
It's Conchords. Flight of the Conchords.
What did Daryl Hall call him at the world event? The world remember. Music from around the...
Flying...
No, it was Flux. No, I forget it.
Daryl Hall. That was awesome. Well, are we good? Or do
we've been talking for 45 minutes.
I think we're good.
You want to get to the Lars line?
Sure. Hey, guys, we talked for a while. Now you talk. Oh, send us an email.
Send us an email. You know the contact info.
Yeah.
That was me and Ben. No format.
All right.
Chatting it up. Next week, we'll return to our normal format.
Yes.
We'll have music to stick in your cues.
Yes.
Or movies to stick in your cues.
All of it.
We'll have a two-minute debate. You want to do Rocky Horror?
Yes. Next week, we will debate Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And I know Colleen from Metro Buzz loves Rocky Horror. And I just want to say to Colleen, I'm going to fucking blast the shit out of that pile of crap next week because I fucking hate it.
Nice.
Yeah, go ahead and drop us a line, 206-338-4261, and this was DeLars.
That's
you
right.
All, everybody.
See you later, D-Kids.
Lars Line.
Hey, everybody out there in podcast land. This is the body, Jesse Ventura, and you're listening to the Lars with Ben and Ralph.
Hey, Ralph and Ben. This is Desiree from Pensacola. I just started listening to your podcast on the recommendation of Jay and Jack. And so I downloaded all the summer ones, and I'm only on the one from the 4th of July right now, the Caveman Party. But I just had to make a comment, even though I know that's like 6 shows ago. You recommended sticking your cue Brick. And before I even started listening to you about a month ago, I actually did stick it in my queue because it looked really good. And so when I got the movie, I started watching it. It was a complete waste of my time. I finished it just because I said I need to finish it. The movie was ridiculous. I mean, half the time I didn't believe anything that was going on. The guy, main character, was just absolutely ridiculous. And half the time I couldn't understand what they were saying. The other half of the time, I didn't even care what they were saying. And, you know, I mean, the story made no sense. My mind wandered. I wanted to shut it off halfway through. And so I just wanted to let you know that it was one of the worst movies I ever saw. Okay? Well, thanks.
Darmalars, I knew I loved you before, but the fact that you said you loved Hot Rod just made me love you even more. Yeah, Hot Rod, amazing movie. Go see it, people.
Hey, Ben and Ralph, this is Jared from Missouri. Just giving you guys a call to let you know that your review of Hot Rod was spot on. The movie was fantastic, hysterical when he kept falling down the hill. One of the insanely stupidest, funniest things I've ever seen. Not only that, but really, Ian McShane's in that film, and if you guys ever seen Deadwood, you know that Ian McShane is the man, and I will see anything with him in it. And Baconator. You didn't talk it up as much as you should have. Quite possibly the greatest thing to come around since Sex. So have a good night, guys.
Hey, Ralph and Ben, but mostly Ben. This is Amy in Little Rock, and you know why I'm calling? It's about Firefly, okay? I stuck it in my queue, and I got the first disc. Now, first of all, the first disc, it had 2 freaking episodes on it, all right? That sucks. Okay, and second of all, those 2 episodes, they sucked, okay? I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there that appreciate strange sci-fi space westerns that have kind of semi-humorous, cheesy, lame sense of humor and hokey kind of over-the-top action and, oh, we're in trouble, we're bandits, let's get out of here before some people kill us. Oh, whew, we got out just in the nick of time. Ooh. but it really just didn't tickle me in my special places, like Lost or, you know, some other kind of good shows. So I'm sorry, but your choice there just didn't work out. I know you told me to stick it out for a few more episodes, and maybe it'll change my mind. So when that second disc arrives, maybe I'll have a different opinion. But, yeah. And you told me to follow it up with a compliment. So, you are very dashing and witty. And, oh, Chili Biscuit just pooped. There. That's your gift from me to you. So, yeah, Firefly, boo. And Lost, yay. And I love you guys. And, okay, goodbye.
Hey, Ralph and Ben. This is Eek in Little Rock. I just woke up, and I had a zombie dream again. Ben knows I have zombie dreams all the time, and I haven't had one in a long time. But, yeah, it was weird, because usually I have those zombie dreams when my life is kind of, in disarray. And it's actually, you know, things are going pretty well and all that. And, I think Rose McGowan was in a dream, which is kind of weird. It was sort of Planet Terror kind of dream, which usually they're Dawn of the Dead kind of dream. So it was a little different. I'm kind of half asleep because I literally just woke up because my ex-husband just sent me a text message and it woke me up. So yeah, I wanted to make sure I called you guys before I forgot it. Oh, I also had a dream that I was in Big Brother because I apparently look like one of the girls on Big Brother. And the gay guy was hugging me, and he was breathing really, really heavy in my ear. And I woke up only to find out that Chili Biscuit was on top of me, breathing really fast in my ear. So that was really funny. Oh, God. Okay, I gotta go make some coffee. So I love you guys. Bye.
This is the Lars. Awesome, dude. I can't believe I got into podcasting. Well, not into podcasting, but, you know, the podcast is cool. So, you dudes are the bomb. I listen to it all the time. I need you to rock on. Just fucking play that shit. You guys are the best. I love your fucking intro tune. I love the whole fucking podcast. And I'm going to be the drunk guy that beats out fucking the dude from California that talks for 9 hours. Because he fucking kills me at the end of the show. I work there, Chip. I'm chilling with your fucking podcast. Loving the shit. Fucking this guy comes on at the end. Talking nonsense. So that's why I'm going to hang up. And leave you with a little music. Great dude. Probably gotta cut that out. Ralph Bent, you're the best. Peace.
Dharma, Lars. Oh, I treated myself to something nice and got a yellow t-shirt. Awesome. But taking a long time to get here. Lame. Yo, I gotta go before my hamster screams. Later. Repeat. Repeat cast. Bye.
Hey, Lars, this is Jenny, and by the way, the whole thing, the Fly of the Conchords, are awesome. Just thought, you know, I know you guys like them and all, especially Ben, but just in case you had forgotten, they rule. And I started watching, or like their music, just like, you know, their performance bits on YouTube, and then I friended them on MySpace, and then I found out today they had a show and their new episode is coming out, and you can watch episodes 1 and 4 for free online. It might be 1 and 4. You can either watch them for free online, or they have a podcast and you can subscribe to that, and it's pretty sweet. I mean, looking through it now, they have like Mel, you know, the crazy fans. Mel, she's got her video blogs. There's like 7 of them, and they're pretty funny. It's usually her, like, you know, trying to be near Benjamin, but whatever. And like, there's all kinds of interviews with them and stuff like that. It's a pretty sweet thing to subscribe to it. And I just found out, but the Fly the Conchords was just signed on for 2nd season. So hooray for that. You go, guys, rock, long live Lars, whatever. Bye. Oh, hey, Lars, this is Jenny once again. I'm being obnoxious and calling, like, twice within a day, but whatever. I just thought of a movie that you guys really need to stick it in your tube and watch it, like, if you haven't. I'm sure you've seen it, but anyway. It's called Lock, Stock, and 2 Smoking Barrels, and it is a freaking awesome movie. It's like, I feel like it has the same feel as Snatch. Like, it's the same kind of whatever. I'm not sure if it's British or not, because it's been a while since I've seen it. I feel like it is, but it might, I don't know, whatever. But it's this hilarious, kind of serious movie, but not really serious. I mean, like, I don't know how to describe it. It's not supposed to be serious, but it's just about action and, you know, robbers, I guess. Not really, I don't know. It's just funny. I can't even describe it because I'm really out of it right now. And I'm currently bathing a tortoise, but just watch it. I'm probably very misleading in my description. Just freaking watch it.
Let me tell you, so let me remind you who you're talking to. Only this year's recipient of the coveted Mr. Inseam Award. Well, that shut him up.
A boy played by Elijah Wood gets fed up with his folks in that scene from North and decides that since they don't pay attention to him, he will divorce them and go looking for a new set of parents. And that's the setup for one of the most thoroughly hateful movies of recent years, a movie that makes me cringe even when I'm sitting here thinking about it. Look at this scene, for example, where young North is in court trying to dump his parents, who are comatose with shock.
And there's nothing left for me to do but make my judgment. And in my judgment, any folks who would sleep through a trial like this are folks who don't deserve to have a wonderful, upstanding son like North.
Then there's a series of auditions as would-be parents from around the country try out for the role of North's new mom and dad. Dan Aykroyd and Reba McEntire are a couple of absurd Texans who want to adopt him.
We had a son who was trampled by a ton of longhorns, but you're here cute to fill his boots as flat as they may be.
Next stop, the Hawaiian Islands, where we get some amazingly tasteless dialogue about why these two people don't have children.
Hawaii is a lush and fertile land. In fact, there's only one barren area on all of our islands. Unfortunately, it's Mrs. Holt.
A mysterious character keeps turning up on North's travels. He's played by Bruce Willis as an Easter Bunny, a Western ranch hand, a beachcomber, and a Federal Express driver who gets in lots of product plugs.
What are you, some kind of guardian angel?
Well, I guess you can say that. Because in a manner of speaking, we at Federal Express feel that we are guardians. Guardians of your most important packages and priority communicate.
I hated this movie as much as any movie we've ever reviewed in the 19 years we've been doing this show. I hated it because of the premise, which seems shockingly cold-hearted, and because this premise is being suggested to kids as children's entertainment, and because everybody in the movie was vulgar and stupid, and because the jokes weren't funny, and because most of the characters were obnoxious, and because of the phony attempt to add a little pseudo-hip philosophy with a Bruce Willis character. Now, I think Elijah Wood is a fine young actor, and of course, Rob Reiner, the director, has made one terrific movie after another, so I prefer to consider North as just a very unfortunate aberration in these otherwise admirable careers.
Well, I mean, I think you got to hold Rob Reiner's feet to the fire here. I mean, he's the guy in charge. He's saying that this is entertainment. It's deplorable. I mean, there isn't a gag that works. You couldn't write worse jokes if I told you to write worse jokes.
And, of course, you could always...
The ethnic stereotyping is appalling.
Yes.
It's embarrassing. You feel unclean as you're sitting there. Mm-hmm. It's junk. First-class junk.
And then the idea that kids might be lured in by television ads to see this movie about a little child who, you know, throws away his parents and goes shopping for a new set. It's really...
Any subject could be done well. This is just trash, Roger.
Okay. Mm-hmm.